Mike DeGuven. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And of course we know the Lord Jesus Christ was not speaking about physical bread, but he was talking about the spiritual hunger of the human spirit, the spiritual thirst of the human soul, and how that he alone could satisfy that hunger and that thirst by an individual believing in him. Remember, in our previous broadcast, we have been discussing why was Jesus born in a stable and laid in a manger. Of all the places where Christ could have been born, why did the Lord allow him to be born in such a place? Well, we've already considered the personal need, for all of us are guilty of having sinned. We've discussed the family need for salvation. We've discussed the national need of deliverance from sin and its bondage. And now we're considering the world need, the whole world. Beloved, every man, woman, boy, or girl is guilty of sin and thus needs a Savior. Again, Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person listening to this broadcast today is guilty of having broken God's law, of having disobeyed the Lord God, and disobeyed and done that which was wrong. God gave us the law, and in Exodus chapter 20, he made clear what the law was as he gave that law to the nation of Israel as his means of witnessing to the world what is right and what is wrong. He gave these 10 commandments. As he stated in Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He and he alone, the eternal Almighty God, is to be recognized as Lord. Secondly, in verse 4, he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that are in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So we see, first of all, we're to have no other gods before the eternal God. Secondly, we're not to make any kind of an idol to bow down before, or to worship, or to pray to it, for that is a disgrace to the eternal God, and that dishonors the eternal God, and it will bring judgment upon the family and upon the children of those who do so. Thirdly, we see in verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In this day and age, we hear God's name abused and misused in cursing and in vile language so many times. We see God's name abused and misused. And those who claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many times we as individuals may bring disgrace and shame and bring wrong thoughts upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by our lifestyle. We're taking his name in vain. We're dishonoring him. We're bringing shame upon him because of our failure to obey and keep his commandments. And then the fourth commandment was to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. That is a special day for Israel. This was a special agreement that God had with the nation of Israel that would show they were His chosen people and that they would not do any kind of work on Saturday, which was the Sabbath day, and they were to keep that day holy. When we as believers saw Jesus Christ die, be buried, and come forth from the grave, He came forth on the first day of the week. And thus we as believers begin to worship and honor God on the first day of the week. And we set aside the first day of the week to worship the Lord, to assemble together, to praise His name, and to hear the Word of God proclaimed, and to honor and lift up Jesus Christ. Then we see the first four commandments had to do with our relationship with God, with our respect for Almighty God, with our honoring the Lord God. But then the next commandment, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. The next six commandments have to do with our relationship with human beings, with those that are around us. And we see that he admonishes us to honor our father and our mother, to honor them, that is, to show respect to them, irregardless of whether we like them or not, or how they may behave toward us. We are to respect their position. This is the principle of authority. It's not just whether we like them or not. We're to honor them for whom they are. This is the principle of authority that God seeks to teach mankind. Do you know why our prisons are filled and running over? It's because of people who never learned the principle of authority. They never learned to respect and honor God. They never learned to respect and honor their parents. They never learned to respect and honor teachers. They never learned to respect and honor the police and the government and the civil authorities, and thus they've broken laws and they've rebelled and they now are in prison suffering the consequences. And it's for our good that we learn to obey these basic laws that God set forth. Honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And he was speaking primarily to Israel, but it is true of us today that God will bless our lives and give us long life if we will honor our parents and respect them and honor God by respecting our parents. You see, if we don't respect our parents, we're dishonoring God. We're bringing disgrace upon His name. Then verse 13, thou shalt not kill. That literally means thou shalt not commit murder. That's what it's referring to. It's not referring to going to war. It's not referring, as some would say, that you can't go to war. Beloved, that's foolish. The Word of God, the Old Testament, is filled with times when God sent Israel to war against the wicked and the ungodly, and to go in to the land of Israel. When they went in from Egypt to the land of Israel, they had to eliminate the wicked and the ungodly there in the land, because God had given them that land centuries before, and the wicked and the ungodly had come in and taken it over. And so it's talking about murder. It's not talking about war. It's not talking about our defending our country and standing up for what's right. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. And this has to do with a man being true and faithful to his wife, and thus honoring God. When we are unfaithful as men to our wives, or when women as married women are unfaithful to their husbands, it is an act by which we dishonor Almighty God and bring shame upon His name and bring dishonor upon the Lord God. And so these have to do with sexual sins, immorality, and unrighteousness. And then thou shalt not steal. Here he makes it clear. We're not to take that which belongs to someone else. And for the child of God, it has reference to our honoring God with our income, and our not taking that tenth of our income that belongs to God and using it for our own selfish purposes. And you might say, well, I'm poor, and we're very, very poor, and we have a hard time just getting along. Did you know that if you will honor God with a tenth of what you receive, God will take that 90% and stretch it farther with His blessings, then the 100% will go without His blessings? Beloved, I've seen this proven true over and over again. That's why we always honor God with a tenth of our income, whether it's a gift that's given to us, or whether it's a salary, whether it's money that we've earned. We honor God with giving Him a tenth of it. And actually, we give over and above a tenth, because we found that the more we give, the more God gives back to us. It's a principle of God's Word. And so, my mother-in-law, she brought up three children by herself, and it was a struggle, and many times she had to pray for food to be placed on the table. One time they sat down with just one piece of bread, and they divided it up four ways, one little piece of bread, and she asked her son to ask the blessing on that bread, and he prayed, and shortly thereafter, they got a call from the store where my daughter had gone, hoping to get, she had gone to purchase, I don't remember what it was that she had to purchase for her mother, but they got this phone call, and there was a barrel of food that was waiting for them to pick up. They had a drawing at the store. And they picked up this barrel of food and divided it up among their neighbors and shared with their neighbors. And God always provided for them, always supplied for them in unexpected ways. I believe I got my story mixed up that time when it was the one piece of bread. The mother sold Avon products, which were cosmetic products. And she got a phone call from a lady that wanted a certain amount of cosmetics that she had on hand. And when the lady came, normally she gave a check, and she said, I'm sorry, I've run out of checks, I'll have to pay you cash. Is that all right? And Verna's mother said, oh, yes, that'll be fine. And so she gave the money so that she could send Verna to the store to buy the money or to buy some groceries. And they were having that drawing, and so Verna was the last one to put her name in, and it was her name that was drawn, and a barrel of groceries was given to them on top of that. And so, beloved, God is our source of supply. Her mother always tithed and always put aside a tenth of her income to tithe, and God honored it. Until next time, goodbye.